Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. We have changed gears. We have changed lanes, is what the Father is calling for. So we are here and we are ready to make the sound of intercession this morning. I'm excited about it. I believe that change is necessary. It's not negative. It's necessary. It's the thing that challenges us, but it's the thing that brings us to victory. So we are ready to go. We are ready to go. Are you guys ready to go?
Amen.
Let's go. Let's give them about 5 minutes, maybe 3 minutes, and I'm going to go ahead and start releasing what the Father has given me for the morning. And it's also the Sabbath day. So happy Sabbath to everybody that's going to be listening in to it live or in the future. We'll be right back. You guys can put your phones on mute if you need to. All right, well, maybe not 5 minutes, but I love that track. That's the track from Defiance. I just absolutely love it. And I guess people wonder why I love it so much, because I am in this season determined to be defiant against darkness. I'm not going to be defiant against of the Father, but I'm going to be defiant against darkness, definitely. And when you've been through enough, then you understand where you need to be defiant at. And no matter what the enemy is throwing at me, no matter what he is creating or forming against me in this season, this situation for sons, I believe this is the mindset of the son. We absolutely are rejecting. We're opposing. We are being defiant against darkness and all of its assaults against us this season, because this is the thing that's going to bring us into victory, us understanding and identifying who we are, whose we are, and what we've been called to. I believe that that's the difference between us moving into the place of victory and being overcome is the fact that we recognize that we have purpose. I think the only time that we really feel like giving up is when we don't remember that we are purpose. I think the time that we feel like giving up is when we don't recall our identity. Maybe we bumped our head. Maybe we've got amnesia. Whatever it is, we've got to be called back into that place of purpose in order to be able to function properly. And I think that this is where we are in this season. It's just that place of the calling. It's the place of the answer. We were talking about this yesterday. Many being called, but few being chosen. And a lot of people are not chosen because they never answer the call. I believe that it is time to answer the call of Yah. It's time to answer heaven's call and to be in the posture and in the position of yes. I believe that's just where we are. We're in the season of answering the call. We've heard the call. We've allowed the phone to ring. There are times when we've heard the assignment. We haven't showed up. But the grace of our God has kept us to this point. The grace of our God has kept us for this season and for this hour, for this era. And I am ecstatic about the fact that he kept in order to do the thing that he called us to do. Not only has he kept us or preserved us, but he's prepared us for this moment. And so we're moving forward in this prepared moment to get to this prepared purpose that's been prepared for us. And I'm absolutely excited about the purposes of Yah on our lives in this season. Father, we just glorify you this morning. We lift you up. We thank you for another day. We thank you for another time, for this moment in time that you have called us to do the thing that you have desired of us to do. We thank you for another opportunity to walk in the way that you have called us, to walk in the purpose that you have called us to. Father, we love you this morning, but most of all, we thank you for loving us. We honor you, and then we thank you for your honor concerning us and how you chase after your word that you've sown in us before the foundation of the world to perform it. Before the foundation of the world, this word you've sown in us to perform, you are chasing after it, to bring us into the place called manifestation. Father, we bless you, and we're absolutely humbled by your spirit, the foundation seed of all blessings that are in us. You prepared us for all that we need. You've given us everything that pertains to live a godly life. And it's the blessing of you that makes us rich and adds no sorrow. We just love you today, Father, for being the kind of God that rewards his children. There are benefits to being connected to you. Father, help us this morning to understand the benefit of serving you, the benefit of being connected to you. We thank you this morning for who you are and for all that you've done, for who you've been in our lives. We thank you this morning for your son. We thank you for the Mashiach in us. He is the hope of every one of your doings, everything that we'll ever receive of you. He is the reason of that receiving because he has given us an example. He's been the prototype. He's shown us the way to go. And Father, because you've sent someone ahead of us to show us the way to go, we don't have any reason for failure. We don't have any reason for confusion. We recognize that even when it looks like we're falling, we're not failing. We're simply learning some things. Just as a baby begins to walk, there is no failure in them falling. They are simply learning to stand. They are simply learning to stand. And so thank you this morning. We thank you this morning for knowing how to stand. We thank you this morning for teaching us not only how to stand, but how to walk. We thank you this morning for not only teaching us how to stand and showing us how to walk, but strengthening us through the trials, strengthening us through the things that we must go through in order to get to the place that you're calling us to. We are excited this morning about what you are doing in the lives of the sons. We're so excited about what you're doing, Father. We love you this morning, and we thank you, Father. As we encounter the things of the day, we thank you for the wisdom of the day. We thank you for the wisdom of the day. But Father, your spirit is in us to continue the power of the resurrection of the Son that you sent before us to show us the way. And so we thank you for that wisdom today. As we encounter death via the challenges of life, death via because of ignorances and pride, there are all these things that are dying around us. Your promise is over us, in us and through us, continue to bring us into divine dominion. because of resurrection. The resurrection, one resurrection after the other resurrection. So we speak to the mountains in our lives today because we're alive and because you've caused us to be alive. You breathe your life into us, and that life is a way. It's a living way. It's a living truth. We thank you this morning, and we refuse to allow the mountain to bring us into a place of intimidation today. There may be mountains that we're facing. There may be mountains along the journey. There may be mountains that we have in that we've seen in our past. But today, we're not going to go around the mountain. We're not climbing up into the mountains. We're going to speak to the mountains in our lives today and refuse to allow them to maintain their position. We're going to refuse to allow the mountain to bring us into a place of intimidation, false identities of doubt, grief, sorrow, victimization, fear. We're speaking to spirits this morning that would attach themselves to us because of the opposition, because of the thing that looks insurmountable to us. But we take authority over those spirits this morning of intimidation and false identity and doubt and grief and victimization and fear. Hallelujah. We take authority over the adversaries of these things and declare our house to be no place that accepts squatters. This morning, we disallow our house. When I'm speaking of our house, I'm talking about our temple, our physical body. But when I'm speaking about our physical body, I'm not speaking individually. I'm speaking collectively, because anytime you've spoken to the temple, anytime you've spoken concerning the body or the house, the place of your dwelling, it's been a place that included your people. So we disallow this morning our house, because we're managing this house for one another. You know, that's why you said we would be our brother's keepers, because we've got to manage the house. So we disallow our house this morning to be a place of diabolic dwelling. We divide darkness this morning. We divide darkness today by the light of identity, knowing, understanding, receiving, and respecting who we are in you and who you are in us. May the light that you've made us divide, pierce, scatter in our lives and in the lives of those around us the darkness that the enemy would attempt to perpetuate upon humankind this morning. We thank you. We give you glory that this light that you have made us, people refer to it as this little light. Hallelujah. It's a light that divides darkness so it can be little. It's a light that scatters, that pierces. Hallelujah. That divides darkness so it could not be small. We thank you this morning for this light that you have given us. I have you guys' minds unmuted. You're going to have to mute on your end if you need to. We thank you this morning for this light that you have given us, and that this light that you've given us is necessary to dispel darkness and every myth that darkness would attempt to release upon us, release in our environment. We thank you this morning for that wisdom, for that understanding, for that revelation. May we walk in the wisdom of this word that you're releasing to us today in a fresh way, in a new way. We mandate today to be a day of new identity and new understanding. We name today fresh identity, fresh understanding, fresh revelation concerning who you are and who you are in us. We thank you this morning. We meditate on your word, on your revealing word, on your unrelenting word over our lives, the word that performs, the word that produces. We release our spirit to call our minds in righteous imagination this morning. Righteous imagination is what you're called to. Imagination is not a negative thing. It's a necessary thing. But it's what we're imagining and where the imagination is rooted. So this morning, we release our spirits to call our minds into righteous imagination. I don't think that the body is thinking or seeing. I don't know if I want to say thinking, because I think sometimes people are thinking too much. But they're thinking and they're not doing. So I don't want to discuss thinking this morning. I want to discuss this identity where we are able to see before we get there, this identity that we become before a thing actually is. I think you talked to Abraham about this, calling those things that be not. as though they were. And the caller thing is not just to say it, but to start walking in it or to walk as it. So this morning, we call our minds by the Spirit of the living God that's in us to righteous imagination. We meditate in a way that manifests. Our meditation manifests this morning, the thing that you're speaking concerning us. We take the time out this morning as we are in intercession, as we rise to roar. We take the moments that are necessary to begin to see. This is the thing that you've been asking us for a couple of days. What do you see? It's the very thing that you asked the prophet. You said, what do you see? He said, I see an almond branch. Now, we know that an almond branch does not produce away from a place where there is production running through its veins, where there is no root, there is no fruit. But he sees an almond branch, and it's blooming, it's blossoming, and it's wintertime. But, Father, this is the thing that you have said to us. This is what I hasten after my word to perform it is connecting to. You're saying to us in this season that I don't care if it looks like it's broken, if it looks disconnected. I don't care what it looks like. If I've called you to it or I've called it to you, it is going to function. It is going to flourish. It is going to bloom. It is going to blossom regardless of the fact that the environment does not appear to be conducive for such a thing. You are against the odds, against the climate, against everything that opposes the moment or the moments that you're calling us into. You are doing a new thing. You're calling for rivers in the desert. Yes, God, we thank you. You're calling for rivers in the desert. Mm-mm-mm. Yes, you are. You're calling for mountains where there were valleys. You're bringing the high places low. There's something new that you're doing, and we want to be a part of the new thing that you're doing today. Hallelujah. So we meditate on that unrelenting word, the word that is relentless for bringing us into production. It's relentless for bringing us into promise. You never released a word out of your mouth that you did not mean. You have never dangled a carrot before our face. You're not dangling a carrot. You're not trying to say something as though when it is not. You are just and you are true in everything that you do. And so this morning, we give you glory, honor, and praise because you're calling us into this place where we're being recalibrated, you know, where we're seeing the future for what it is, for it's happening. Just as your word declares, just as your word declares, anything in the earth, you don't do anything in the earth except, you don't do anything in the earth except or until you speak to the sons of service, the prophets whose hearts, minds, and movement is intentional on manifesting your will in the earth. Yeah, that's what you're recalibrating us to, that position, that posture of serving. We are sons. There are many sons, but the ones that you speak to are the sons that serve. And so this morning, we open ourselves up and we make ourselves available to your voice as we have already made ourselves available and allowing you to speak through us and to release into the earth this morning. You said that the people, that the people would praise me, that they would praise me. Why? Because in this praise, in this release, in this way of service, there's going to be a voice that is released and that the earth is going to respond to, that the earth may yield her fruit, her increase. Father, we thank you that you have made us your vessels in the earth to cause the earth. You put us over the earth to speak to it, to dictate to it what it needs to produce. And this is, we go back to this mountain conversation. This is how we can speak to the mountain. This is the same way that the master was able to speak to the fig tree. Yeah, he was able to speak to the fig tree because it was not producing, because you gave him authority over the fig tree. Today, we recognize our authority in a new way, in a fresh way. It's what you've given us that we might produce the thing that you have put in us. We're already stocked. We're already fully equipped with everything we need. We're not looking for money outside of us, even though it will tangibly come to us, but it's something that's in us. It's a It's a richness that you put in us. It's a wealthy place that you put in us that causes those things to show up for us. And so we thank you this morning. We thank you this morning. Hallelujah. We thank you this morning. We give you praise and we give you glory. Thank you this morning, Father. Hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm. We thank you this morning. We give your name all of the praise and glory. We give you all of the praise and all of the glory this morning, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You guys, give me just a moment. I am making sure that that number that we're on given to everybody that's calling in now. I didn't have everybody's number, so I'm giving you the number, woman of God, to call into right now, okay? Just check your text message in about 1 minute. It'll be there. It will be there. I'm putting it in right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Yes, we do. We give you praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you. You got the number? Did you check? There you go. She got it. There we go. All right. All right. Good morning to everybody. Good morning. Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. It's good to be live. I think she's trying to call in, but she got today's a Sabbath. Now, I do want to say this. I do want to say this, that this morning, I'm kind of understanding what the Father is doing. I really am. I did not, until just in this split second, really identify what he was doing. So I want you guys to take off your inhibitions. I don't want you to get skittish because we are now live, on Blog Talk Radio. I don't want you to get skittish. I don't want you to go into that place that you normally would go into because we're on the radio or whatever. I need you to not be skittish this morning because it's your time. It's your time. We're moving into something new. You're being called into something different. And your yes is a priority in this season. Your yes is an absolute priority. Can I tell you something about your voice? This is something that I'm growing to learn about my voice and about the voice of sons. But I want to tell you something about your voice this morning. There are people waiting to hear your voice. There are people that are waiting to hear your voice. As a matter of fact, people that are in the earth will not receive deliverance until their deliverer shows up. I am not a deliverer to everyone. I am a deliverer to those whom he sends me to and those whom he sends to me. However, as a leader, it is my responsibility to raise deliverers. So you are also deliverers, and there are people that are waiting on the sound, the timber, the texture, the weight of your voice in order to come to the place that they're being called to. Now, I want to go to the parable of the talents just for a moment because it's a very familiar story, but I want to tell you the danger of keeping your voice to yourself. I know this is, I didn't intend to go here, but he dropped this on me in that split second. He dropped it on me, and so I have to release this because it's not just for those of us who are on the line. This is also for those of you who are listening from all over the world, Australia. I can't even name the many places that are listening from all over the world right now. The countries packed into this particular broadcast. They're listening, going to be listening. And this is for all the sons that will be hearing this on whatever platform it winds up on. You'll be hearing this. This is for you. Keeping your voice to yourself is the fact that you're going to have blood on your hands because there are people that are waiting for your voice. So to keep your voice to yourself is to keep your testimony to yourself. is to keep the deliverance to yourself, is to keep his goodness to yourself. Sure, it's great for us to be, when we're in those places and in those spaces, to share different things when we feel like we're given the opportunity, but every day is your opportunity. Every day is our opportunity to do the thing, whatever that thing is that the Father has called us to. And so this is an hour that he's establishing his sons. There's something that I've been wanting to establish for years. I felt the burden of this establishment. I felt the burden of this way or this movement or this momentum. And one of the things that the adversary is adamant about concerning the sons, I know it's the Sabbath and we might have to read it in a moment or maybe even tomorrow, because, you know, the Sabbath doesn't just dictate the reading. It requires us to be in the posture or the position to receive whatever the word is for the day. I believe we're going to get to read it at least the very first part of the Torah portion. I believe we're going to get to read that. We probably may not have time to discuss it because we're taking a whole lot of time. Not that I have a limit here, but we're taking a whole lot of time to discuss this thing with the Father speaking to me now. At the end of the day, your voice is a priority. It's not only a priority for others, but it's a priority for yourself. Now, the Father gave me some things a couple of years ago. One of those things that I believe is very pertinent in this season is understanding that the message first goes to the deliverer, the messenger. So that means that he can speak to you through you. So the word that you would be delivering, or the word that you would release to others, or the word that someone else might hear, is first a word to yourself. And once we really grasp, lay hold on and receive that word, even when we're sharing in moments like these, even when, you know, I'm asking the question, what are you hearing? And you hear that word, it's for you first. It's not just for everybody else that's hearing it for you. It's something that you need to dive into, that you need to dig into, that you need to dig something out of that. You need to get to the treasure. You need to hit that treasure box. While you're digging, you need to be able to hear that thud so you know, uh-oh, it's something in here. I've got to open this up. Not just I'm digging, but I'm hitting the treasure box. I hear it, and I got to pull it out of a place to open this thing up and to explore the treasures that are inside of it. Your voice is of value in this season. He did not spare you. He did not save you. He did not produce you in this era, E-R-A, in this era for your silence. One of the things that the enemy is adamant about is still in the moment of sons, because if he can steal your moment, he will steal your momentum. These distractions that come, whether they are the way that you feel about what the Father is doing, whatever those things are, the Father is calling you out of your feelings and into your function. And that function has to be a function in a faith, because it's the only thing that pleases him. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please me. It's impossible. We cannot please him just by a fast. We cannot please him just by giving. We cannot please him just by doing what any of these acrobatic things would be, or mechanical things, I should call them, because they're not acrobats if he's calling for them. They become acrobatics when it's something that he's not called for, and you're trying to replace your obedience with the action. See, here's the truth of the matter. Sons don't obey because they're trying to get the Father to love them or to accept them. Sons obey because they recognize that they have been accepted, that they have been fully favored. This is why we function in the way of obedience, because of who we are, not because of who we're trying to be. I hope you guys got that. So when I ask you today what you're hearing, don't hold back, because somebody's listening for it. Somebody needs to hear. They need to hear the sound of your voice, not just mine. They need to hear the sounds of sons' voices this morning and every morning that we'll be here. They need to hear your voice, because it's your perspective that's bringing them into a place or to a position. It's the perspective of the body fitly joined together that produces something, that provides something. There is a demand, and you need to bring the provision. You need to bring the provision. There is a divine warfare frequency of sons that the Father has downloaded for the release in this earth. I usually do this at the beginning of a broadcast, whatever the Father gives me to place in that section, that written section. Join the Manifesting Sons of the Kingdom Ambassadors Worldwide for sessions of prophetic intercession during this season of setup for breakthrough. That's why we're here. I believe this is a setup for breakthrough, not just for us, but for those of you that will be listening. There will be a hearing. There will be a receiving. There will be a knowing for the sons to divinely function. This is the era of the rise and the roar of the sons of Yah, and there will not be one ear that will not hear the roar. There will not be one ear in this season that will not hear the roar. Whether there's a roar from other camps, there will be a roar in the earth, and it will be the sons of Yah, and there will not be an ear that doesn't hear us. The portals of grace and glory will be opened as we hear and see to be all that we were born to be. And so we're excited to be here, and right now it's for the next 30 days of uncommon victory, but I want you to understand it could go beyond that. However the Father desires to do this is what we're here for. So I want you to understand the announcement that I'm getting ready to make. It's a next day. Now, usually people say it's a new day. We know that it's new, but I want you to know it's a next day. That means next level. That means next dimension. That means next in your life, conclusions, next revelations, next impartations, next. You're in a day of next, okay? So I'm excited to be here with you. I'm going to open up the line. Well, it's actually open, so if you're on personal mute, you'll have to unmute to speak because I don't have control over your mute button over there. But you can open up your line if there's something you want to share, something that you're hearing this morning, something you want to share this morning with the people that will be hearing this. I'm encouraging you to do it without fear. Just click the unmute button and just go. Don't think about it. Don't try to walk out of it or talk your way out of it in your heart or in your mind. Just unmute your button and just go on into this thing that you're being called into because it's your time. It's your time. I get it now. I did not get it before, but I do get it now. I get it.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm just going to say as we were speaking, I heard I believe it's in Samuel. I'm going to look it up. Samuel 15, 22, 23. Okay. When you were saying speak, what I heard clearly was obedience is better than sacrifice.
Ooh-wee, Elder. Absolutely.
So, with that being said, and I can even say for some of my own times where I started, faintly hearing the word of God coming through me, to me, where, and I was called to say things to some people that I knew, and they saw a change in me, and saw how he was grooming me, and still is, but because of our past relationship, I was kind of leery about going to them. What I heard clearly for me to go to them and say, but came back to me again. So I've learned even in my growing that scripture, obedience is better than sacrifice. Because in my obedience, other things came behind that. And I thank God for the things that came. He kept me. He's a keeper.
Yeah.
You hear people say, you know, I think sometimes some people, well, I shouldn't say that, but for me, for a minute, I just thought sometimes people was just saying cliches that they heard. But when you start living and these things start happening to you, I saw somebody posted the other day. When you listen to some of the spiritual songs that where he brought you through things, they hit you kind of differently. And it's the same thing with being obedient and acknowledging him. When you start growing and he grooms you, things hit you a little differently than what they did when you were just listening to somebody instead of living it yourself.
Come on.
That's what I have to say right now.
Come on. That's absolutely good. That's good, good, good. I'm going to eat on that just for a few minutes while somebody else opens that line. That's good. That is good. He will definitely bring you from a place. And it's constant growth. We never arrive, you know, because there's always more of him to know. There's always more growth because there's always more information, you know. I just love that way. It's lifelong learning. This is the real lifelong learning, the kingdom, you know. This is the true place of lifelong learning, but with all the benefits, you know, with all the benefits. It's not going to put us in debt to do this. You know, if you go to college and you try to do some lifelong learning, you might get in debt trying to lifelong learn some stuff. But in the kingdom, there is no debt that you owe. Come on now. No, you're not in over your head. It's not going to affect your credit score negatively to do this life. You hear me? To learn these things. And to identify with the fact that you haven't failed. You're just learning. You're learning. The question is, what are you learning in the process of these things where you feel like you identify that there is a mark and you have not hit it? So that's different than failure. To call yourself a failure is to call God a liar. Do you understand that? To believe yourself to be a failure or not capable is to say that he lies. And if he called you, then you're capable. You're absolutely capable. Come on, the line is open. It's open. Wow. Don't y'all all run to the line. We on live. Don't leave no blank space on the line this morning. This is not the time to let somebody else go first. You go ahead and jump out there. Get out the boat. Be like Peter this morning. Get out the boat and go on and walk on the water. If you're looking around waiting to see if anybody else going, they probably not right now. Go ahead and go. Just go ahead and step out there. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for all of you that are on the line this morning. We're thankful for all of our guests as well. Hallelujah. Come on, who else has something they want to share this morning? If you had an opportunity, I love how we're living in this age of opportunity. And sometimes that's really all you're looking for. Sometimes that's all you need is the opportunity, the chance. The Bible says time and chance happen to us all. The question is, do you move in that chance, in that opportunity, in that time, in that moment that you're asking for? Do you understand what's connected to your moment? Write that down, because I think sometimes we miss stuff like that. That's the thing that we miss that makes us unsuccessful on our journey, is that we don't understand what's connected to our moment. We think that the moment just drops down out of the sky and is given to us. But there are things, just like you were just saying, Elder, there are things that are connected to moments that we're asking for, that we're believing for. And that obedience is connected to that moment that suddenly is only going to happen because something came to pass. There's something that we have to begin to put into place that actually begins to produce a thing. So sometimes it's something as simple as repeating what we're hearing, releasing what we're hearing, and then this other moment comes. We step into a moment. Come on.
I just thought of, I don't think of it, just dropped in my spirit. With Solomon, I think it was Solomon,
uh-huh.
And he gave that great offering.
Oh God!
And got the father's attention, and the father said,
"Come on
wait
now,
a minute.
Hold on."
What's going on? And then it also, like I just been getting a chain of things this morning. Even a relative of mine that's a prophet who's been doing work all over from Chicago to Georgia and South Carolina, and before he went, he was telling people that he was sowing seeds, he was preaching, but he was going to leave the offering that was raised with the churches. I saw a post that said, okay, my mission has been accomplished, what I was called to do. Now I'm waiting on the harvest, because when you do something that you called to do, there is a harvest coming. So
come on now.
When I saw that, and then what you just said, I was like, wow, like all that kind of connected dots, you know, with me.
Yeah.
And that even goes to the obedience thing. Like, you know, if you're somewhere and you're led to do something, because I'm a sower, but If I don't hear the Lord tell me to do it, I don't.
That's right.
I just don't. You know,
that's obedience too.
I don't just give because I feel like, okay, then I should do this. No. If I didn't hear it, I didn't, because you don't know if it's for him or by him or through him. You know, you just don't know.
Come on.
It might what's that word you say sometimes? It might seem like it's a good thing.
It might seem negative,
but
it's necessary.
But
you're talking about the good thing
and
the God thing. Got you.
It's the God thing, you know. So,
yeah.
Yeah, but that, I also heard that too as you was talking.
Yes,
it's
ma'am.
Like right now, and I don't know how long it's going to go, but he's just dropping stuff in me as you talk.
I love it. It's going to continue to go. You know, the thing about the Father is that he gives us wisdom without holding back. The question is often, can we handle the wisdom? Do we do it? So it goes back to knowing what to do in a moment, like the Father's revealing something to them. And they like, you know what, I don't want to see that. Why am I seeing that? That's weird. You know, okay, so now instead of receiving more of a pour, now the container is set upright. And there's nothing else coming out of it, because the little bit that when I start pouring, you call it weird. When I start pouring, you say you don't want to see it. When I start pouring, you say, why are you showing me that? You know, I've known a lot of prophets over the course of my life that in their younger days were ignorant of the fact that if they decided or declared, you know, I don't want to see that, they stopped seeing. You know, and this is a real place. He's like, are you ready to receive? But you know, when you're open to receive, you don't have any inhibitions about that receiving. You know, you're not trying to put a limit on. When you go to the all-you-can-eat buffet, they don't put no limit on you. You just eat until you can't eat no more. That's what makes the all-you-can-eat buffet devilish in their nature. Just devilish. I don't want to go to no all-you-can-eat buffet unless it's a salad bar or a fruit bar. Fruit or salad and that kind of thing, your body just tells you automatically, okay, you've had enough. But when you're eating all the other stuff, your body just, it don't say nothing. It just sit there stupidly, just saying nothing, just letting you, just keep eating. Keep eating cake and ice cream and steak and potatoes, and your body don't say nothing. Your brain, matter of fact, keep telling you, oh, yeah, you need another helping of that. So I'm just thankful this morning. The line is still open. I see you called back in, because maybe you got disconnected or maybe your line wasn't allowing you. But you're more than welcome to share this morning. The mic is open. Somebody needs to hear your voice this morning. Let them hear it. Step out into victory. These be the things that break stuff off your life. Don't play with it. And I think I had this conversation with somebody the other day. Excuse me, it could have been one of you guys. I don't remember right now, but I know I had this conversation the other day, that a lot of times when we're dealing with spiritual things, the Father will send somebody. Anytime he wants to shift us, anytime he wants to reroute us or redirect us, he sends someone. And that someone is the person that's going to speak into our life and encourage us and push us and be an example before us and even be a prototype of sorts, you know, for us. The thing about it is that we often, if we're connected to that person in any way on a personal level, we often can take very lightly the thing that they say, because we, even though we may think that we esteem them, we don't esteem them. We don't know how to divide things. So like if I'm saying, you know, like I'm most of the people on this line, I'm a friend of yours. I'm not just an apostle. I'm your friend. You know, I'm your sister. You know, all of those things are factual and actual. But if the Holy Spirit gives me a mandate to open a line and to have you guys saying something, that's really not an option. Because what he's doing is he's pushing you into your promotion. And if you miss the promotion, you don't walk across the stage, you don't pull that thing on the other side, okay, you missed the promotion, you know. But then you're looking for the opportunity, or you get in a place where people ignore you or they don't give you any attention. And you're a prophet, but you have no platform. And then you're saying, I just need a platform to do what the Father told me to do. And he said, you remember on Blog Talk, on what day was that, July? You didn't want the platform. Maybe it wasn't big enough for you. Maybe it was too small. Maybe you were too afraid. But at the end of the day, Peter stepped in the boat and stepped on that water. He didn't have a clue what to expect. All he knew was, if I'm seeing you do it, I can do it. And that's my encouragement to you today. If you see me doing it, step out here. You can do what I'm doing. This is not a difficult task. It's not a menial task, and it's not a difficult task. Go ahead and step into the water, because you will also be able to walk as I am walking this morning. So the line is open again. It's open. Because y'all know I'll fill it up. I'll just go back into prayer. It's okay. I'll tell you what I'm not going to do in this season. I'm not going to miss my moment. I've been trying to identify for the last couple of days, maybe even weeks, what the next move was, and this was the next move. I don't know if the time is going to change. That's still up for, you know, interpretation. But what I do know is where I am this morning and what he's called us to. So that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. The line is open. You got to unmute on your end. If you're muted, you have to unmute on your end. You don't have control over your mute button, your personal mute. I don't have control over that.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm blessed this morning.
Get on in the water, girl. The water is fine. Talk to us this morning. What you hearing? What you seeing? What's the Father speaking to you this morning?
I was looking at my journal just now, and and God was telling me to share this. He said,
okay.
I am your healer, your redeemer. New life begins with me, and it starts now. Are you ready? The time has come, and it has all shifted. Life as you've known it is done. It is completely over. Walk in newness.
My
Stay
God.
Hidden in the shadow of the Almighty. No longer worry about what other people say and think of you. If it is not of me, you don't have to receive it. Send it back to the sender. Reject and shun evil, and no longer will you be tossed to and fro. For I am your rescue and your defense. Come to me
God.
For everything. For the good, the bad, the indifferent, no matter what. No matter what symptoms try to linger. Don't believe them, because you are indeed healed. That's what I received.
Wow, I love it. Now, what's funny is you were late to the line, and some of the things that you just discussed are already things that were released in the room. So we know that the Father is speaking to us through you this morning. We know that that is the word of the Lord, and we received that word this morning. We received that word. If you'd like to expound, you may. You may. Hallelujah. The line is still open. Thank you for that word. He called it our next. He said, welcome to your next, not your new day. It's not just a new day. It's a next day for us. That means the old thing has passed away. Yeah, that's good stuff. Man, I'm going to chew on that for a minute. The line is open.
Yeah. Prophet Posey here. And I was just thinking about what you were saying, and with what is next.
Yeah.
You know, I dreamed this morning. Well, last night it was like a quick vision, and then and it was like I saw a painting, because I'm thinking about getting back to painting and selling my paintings, of course. But I saw just the word wife. You know, this morning I was just pondering on why did I see just the word wife, you know, on canvas. And I'm like, come on, like, what is this, you know? and so I think that even with what you and Elder was even speaking about, even with that obedience is better than sacrifice, that's like a marriage. You know what I mean?
It is.
So it's like
it
these
is.
Different things that God is calling us to. It's like it's a commitment to it. And it's a marriage to say yes to, you know what I'm saying? Like you
yes.
said about you having the opportunity to do some things or to speak some things, you know, you got to say yes to that. You have to agree to this, you know?
Yeah.
And so when we take the opportunity to do that, you know, I think that we walk into that next. You know, you walk through the threshold into the next.
Yeah.
And so even with that, with you and I speaking on yesterday, and it was about some other things.
Yeah.
And you know, even in our own personal next, you know, where's the Father leading us to and leading us into. And when it comes down to some things that, you know, people say or you have said, I go into the thing of, Father, is that what's good for me? Is that, you know, is that, well, not good, but the godly thing. Is it God? Is this a God thing for me? Even if it's a God thing for me, now I got to ask God, is it your timing? Because sometimes we can get something and we think it's immediately, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes we get something and we think is later and it's not, you know. So I'm learning in my season to ask God, is it now? You know, is it right now? Is it a week from now? Is it 2 weeks from now? So that's where I am with that.
Yes. And I love him because he teaches us such a balance, because it's something that Prophetess Vantina brought up yesterday that will give us even clearer insight into that, Prophetess Posey. And that is this, that whatever season we're in, we're either preparing or we're rising. It's for you, especially if you're connected properly. And see, that becomes the key. That becomes the issue, that we often don't vet our connection. Does that make sense? We often don't vet the connection. And so because we've been wounded, and remember we were talking about this yesterday, you know, the wound of folks, the people wounds, right? Because we've been wounded and because we have been mishandled, then it's very difficult, if we've not been healed from that wound or mishandling, to walk in relationship with an authentic leader. It's very difficult. Check out the Hebrew children. They have been wounded in their leadership relationship. Pharaoh has led them, the sons of Pharaoh, the people that have been called, the generals, the people that were over them, the hard taskmasters, they've been wounded in their leadership. When Moses shows up, when Moshe shows up, they don't know how to respond to him. One of the things that was very concerning for him when he was in that place that he was called from was they're not going to receive me. Like, first of all, I used to be their captor. I used to be him, okay? Nobody talks about that. That just came up in my spirit just now, okay? That's a conversation that needs to be had right there.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Listen.
Yes.
You sending me back to a people, I feel the Holy Ghost on that thing. Do you hear me? Woo-wee. I feel the Holy Ghost on that. I used to be them. See, this is that place where testimony becomes necessary. You know, I used to be the captor. I was next in line for a position over them. Okay? But here's the thing. Before he went to the place that he was headed to, he also became their defender. And when he became their defender, they didn't know how to respond to the defense. They began to put him out there. They threw him under the bus, actually, when he defended them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They threw him under the bus for defending them. So he says, they not going to believe me. How they go? What do you want me to say to these people? How will they know it's you that sent me? You know, he's asking all of these questions, which are necessary questions, which will receive the right answer. And when you receive the answer, you move in the thing that you've received. It's not for you to sit on. It's for you to move into. So when I hear you saying also these paintings, I'm thinking about painting. You're not thinking about painting anything. You're going to paint. This is something that you, like you said, it's a marriage, something that you're committing to in this season. You hear what I'm saying? That's why you start on the canvas. Yeah, it's something that you're committing to. I'm going to open the floor because I think you got something else to say.
When you were talking and I was listening,
good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Prophetess Bunty.
I was hearing, like you mentioned, about our necks, and I've been saying I'm working on my neck. That's what I've been telling folks. Oh, I'm working on my neck. I'm working on my neck. But as Prophetess LaDonya was speaking, I was hearing, what are you declaring? What are you saying? You know, what are you saying? Be careful about what you say. Like you just, you know, went over how she said what she said. But I thought about what I've been telling people. And then I'm hearing you talk about the neck. But that's what I've been telling people. I'm working on my neck. But I'm saying a lot of times you don't really understand how broad that is, what the neck is. But that's what I've been telling people. I'm working on my neck. And I just, you know.
Mighty God. That's good. It's so good.
I love it too, because it is bringing you to a place where you, for us to really, really think about what we're saying in regards to our words. Because I was saying that a couple of days ago. It's like I really I had to go back and apologize to a gentleman I was talking to because I had said clean out my flower bed, and I was like, you know, what little you did, you know, it made a difference. And I had to think about that thing. I went back to him and I said, you know what, I apologize for that because I'm becoming to the place where I need to be aware
yes.
of what I'm saying, you know, because
yes.
you didn't do no little
of
job.
It.
You know,
and the impact
yes,
of
the
it.
Impact of it. Yes.
You know what?
That's why I told that's why I apologize because
that. You look while you're
yeah,
saying that though. While you're saying that, Prophet, I wanna bring this to our attention. Go right back to it. Don't lose where you are. Because often that's how we refer to the things that we're called to. Oh, I'm just doing this little thing. You know, we refer to that when we talk about other people's stuff and our own stuff. But I got this little thing going on. You know what I'm saying? I'm just writing this little book. You know, it's always this diminishing. That's what the adversary does. He's coming for the word. You know what I'm saying? This I got this little thing. And then when it doesn't go anywhere, you're wondering, well, why does it go anywhere? You called it little anyway. You called it small. You didn't value it as you should, so why should someone else value it? Go ahead, Prophet.
That's right. That's right. So yeah, so that's what made me, you know, go back to him and apologize. And I said to him, I said, look, I said, I just want to apologize to you. I said, because I feel like, you know, we need to be aware of what we're actually saying, you know. And so I told him that, you know, a lot of times we take for granted the things that we say. And then so I just told him, I said, you know, you did a phenomenal job, and I really appreciate you, and I don't want you to think I take you for granted. And then he was just mm-hmm. like, you know what, we do that all the time. And then that made me think about he's responding now that way because he thought about how he spoke on some things. And so now
yes.
I've transferred that thing. That thing's been transferred
now.
For him to say, you know, okay, let me start being aware of what words I'm using towards what somebody has done or hasn't done, you know, to be aware.
Mm-hmm.
Because if when you don't want to, when you're not aware, you continue to say so many things that just, you know, like you said, we, in the word, you talked about the word one time, and it's again about marriage again because it goes to the rings on
mm-hmm.
Both hands. That the woman put the ring on both hands because she could tear down her home with one hand and build it up one hand and tear down with the other. So
yeah.
I remember Juanita Bynum wanted to have both her hands, her rings on both hands because she wanted to have both her hands bound to building and not one building and one tearing down.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was profound. But again, this marriage thing is like it's so profound to me because it goes beyond what we perceive marriage to be in regards to even a relationship with man and woman.
Yes.
But we're married to many things.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely, we are. And this is what the Father was after concerning the Hebrew children particularly, where he would say, you go a whoring after other things. Like, I'm married to you. I put my name on you, and you defile my name. That's what that phrase, do not take the name of Yah in vain, the name of the Lord your God in vain. A lot of people think that it's other things, and it's not those things. It's the fact that in that relationship, when you enter that relationship, he puts his name on you. It's just the same as a husband would give his name to his wife. And if she goes out and begins to gallivant in other places and do all these other things, she brings shame. She takes his name in vain. She makes his name empty, worthless, because of her doings, because of how she's functioning, because of how she's operating. And it's the same thing with what the Father is saying. Not my name, but mine. And we've done it with knowing that that's what we're doing, because we were never taught that that's what that is. But as we mature in a relationship and identify our monogamous relationship with them, as we identify monogamy with one God, you know, then we're able to identify all of the benefits that go along with that. It's funny because I believe that the Torah portion that we're in today ends with him sending, I think the prophetic portion at least, ends with him saying, what happened to your other gods? Because they were crying out to him. And this is one of those places where people begin to cry out. They've done their own thing and all of this, and then they begin to cry out. Oh, the Father, he has that kind of, you know, conversation with people. What happened to your other gods? Go serve them. Let them work it out for you. When you've denied him for so long, when you've rejected him, you know, just like we don't like rejection, the Father don't like it either. He don't like it either. And he's done way more for us than the people that we're trying to connect to that will reject us. You know what I mean?
What's coming up in my spirit now while you're speaking on that is that Lakeith and I kind of had a little conversation afterward. I'm gonna say a little conversation. See how I caught myself? We had a wonderful conversation afterward, and God was speaking to me about, you know, I gotta catch it. That's important for us to catch our thoughts. Yes, it is. It's very important because if you don't catch those thoughts, you can't change them.
He said, bring them into captivity.
Yes. And yep. So we were speaking yesterday about the confidence, and you said if we don't have self-confidence, we don't have God confidence. With God calling us into the next thing, calling us to come walk through that threshold of that door, I was dealing with some, when we were dealing with some things in regards to our confidence, mm-hmm. I was speaking to a young lady a couple days ago, mm-hmm. and it was just like, I remember I told you a few days prior to that God had been dealing with me about who am I, you know, and I started mm-hmm. saying, I am God's prophet, you know,
mm-hmm.
I
mm-hmm.
am called by the Lord. It's like, I can't take this lightly, and mm-hmm. I can't, again, be like in, like, not necessarily a denial, but it's like, God, you chose me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm,
like the
mm-hmm.
thing with Moses, when you said Moses, you know, going back to these people. But it's like, mm-hmm. I begin to say to myself, because I had to build my own belief. I had to build my own confidence and say, I am a prophet of God. God, you called
mm-hmm.
me. I didn't call me to this. You called
mm-hmm.
me to this. So
mm-hmm.
I don't have to be ashamed to tell other people that this is who I am. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
I got to the place when I was speaking to the young lady a couple of days ago. We was having, you know, a deep conversation and about different things that's going on in our lives. And I told her, I said, in the midst of going through what I'm going through, I said, I answered my call.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and God has called me to be a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was like, oh, so you feel things, you see things. I said, yeah, I pick it up all the time. I said, yes, I do. I said, I just don't say anything, you know, everything I pick up, but I do. I said, sometimes people, you know, you can pick up on their emotions. I said, one time I was at work, and I was doing just fine. So this young lady walked past me. Then all
mm-hmm.
of a sudden I got real, real sad. Like, I just wanted to just break down and cry right then and there. And
mm-hmm.
I said
mm-hmm.
it. And the young mm-hmm. lady stopped in her tracks and turned around. She said, that's me. That's how I feel right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that sparked our conversation. And so, you know,
mm-hmm.
me and her had a conversation. But then it was just me letting this young lady know, like, even though, you know, sometimes you can have that, I got to be worried about what people think, what they say. No, I can't worry about
mm-hmm.
none of that. That ain't even my business. And then,
mm-mm.
you know, we were saying at one time, too, and I think I told you this, too, last week you were speaking about we can't be afraid of their faces. God had gave me those words, those exact words. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid of their faces. Yeah. And then the very day you gave it to me that morning, you got online and you gave us the exact scripture of Jeremiah, right?
Yeah.
The exact scripture of Jeremiah, not to be afraid of the men in their faces. You know, mm-hmm. that we have to stand on what Yah say. We can't be concerned about what somebody else think about us, what somebody else said about us, because mm-hmm. I'm thinking about even the things of our youth. Yeah, we did things unknowingly, you know, sometimes foolishly or out of disobedience, you know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. that's all of our process, our learning ground. And so mm-hmm. now we're not who we used to be, but see it many times, even in so many songs, you see and hear people say they hold you to who you used to be. They won't allow mm-hmm. you. They won't give you the opportunity to see, to show them who you are today because of who you used to be. That's all they see. But mm-hmm. yet, everybody wants to be seen for who they are today. So if mm-hmm. that's how it is, why don't you look at people for who they are today or get to know who they are today? So that you can see that God has dealt with them and changed them and mm-hmm. they have grown.
Yes.
You know, you can't hold somebody to yesterday.
No.
Because you don't even want to be held to yesterday.
Mm-mm. And if yesterday would come up for everybody, a lot of people would be trying to throw a sheet over it and put a cover. No.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Mm-mm.
Come on.
Don't do that.
So this is exactly. So now it's like, and when I did that thing, like you said, when you do something, it is something that comes up after that, you know? And so mm-hmm. for me, my confidence is getting to the place where it's just like, okay, God, I'm really, really receiving this. I'm really, really getting this in my mind and my spirit that I
mm-hmm.
hear from you clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't
mm-hmm.
have to doubt that anymore. I don't have to doubt who I am in you anymore according to what somebody else had to mandate to tell me who I am. I don't
Come
have to
on
man, I don't have to wait on what no man has to say about who I am. You know, I listen to the Father. So when the Father is speaking, and it's like you could know these things about yourself, but you didn't, you know, for me, I didn't. It's like I wanted it at one time, and then when you, like you said, you get wounded, then it's like, okay, I don't want this. I don't want that. I put that down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's like, no, God, you called me to this. I'm going to answer the call. And ever since
mm-hmm.
I answered the call, it's just been more and more knowledge being downloaded, just being dropped in my spirit and moving forward. And so, and it's like, even with healings, it's like God had been speaking to me about you holding fast to what I spoke to you. Don't
mm-hmm.
you only focus on the outcome. What did I say? That's my word. I promise you this. This is what I said. This was going to happen. And our obedience to holding fast to his word,
that's
is when we're able to go into the promised land. If we don't hold fast to the obedience of his word, then what will we do? You know, will we be like Moses? We couldn't enter to the gate.
Come on now. Could not enter the promised land. That's a whole subject in and of itself.
Actually, that's the
topic of what we were talking about yesterday, that other thing that I was talking about the wounds, that, you know, people have people wounds, but they're also leadership wounds.
Leaders
get wounds too. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know what I was hearing this morning as we were talking, this is absolutely, I mean, it's not the first time we've had this conversation, you know, these conversations on Blog Talk. There have been other groups, that kind of thing, but I really just believe that this is the season of the next. I believe that this is the season of those sons that are ready for the momentum. They're not going to miss their moment. And when everybody was talking, I was hearing the Father say, this is the season of the sons of the echo. In other words, there's a thing that goes out, and then there's the sons that repeat and keep repeating and keep, you know, repeating. You remember that commercial, you told two friends and then some. I think it was a Balsam commercial. I don't know, many people probably not old enough to know what that is, but it was shampoo. You should be some people that are old enough to know what that is. Yeah, you
mm-hmm.
tell two friends and so on and so on and so on. And that's how it works. And when you were talking, and when all of you were talking, I was just excited about what the Father was saying this morning about, listen, somebody's waiting on your voice. You know, when you were talking about this young lady that you walked past and you began to declare this thing, and she said, that's me. She could have been bound for anything that day. She could have been bound for taking her own life or anything that day. But it was a deliverer that the Father sent. Anytime he's moving us in another direction, he sends somebody. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to recognize and identify that and then begin to move accordingly. It's not an option because she had to respond. When you said that to her, it's not like she could just keep walking because she was the one carrying the thing that you felt.
Yes.
She had to respond to that. And that's the thing that you have to be understanding about in this season, that he's not just randomly sending you out. Yes, you are sheep amongst wolves, absolutely. And y'all remind me because there's this conversation that we need to have about this wolf in sheep's clothing, that thing again. I had to put it out there because it was on my mind. Not that I'm going to talk about that today, but I needed to say it because I know I'm going to listen to the broadcast again, and then I'll be able to write down what I know I need to talk about. Absolutely.
Yes.
So you got to do that too sometimes. Just throw some stuff out there because you got to come back to it. It's like a boomerang. It'll come right back to you, okay? So, you were feeling what she was feeling. You began to embody the thing that she was feeling. So she had to respond, you know. She wasn't going to just walk off. And that's the thing that you have to understand about your calling. When you open up your mouth and you begin to say what the Father is saying to you, you're going to get bites. You're going to get response. All of that's going to happen. All of that's going to happen because the people that are called to you were waiting to hear you. They were waiting.
That's powerful because, and that was another thing that the Father spoke to me too, was about, he was telling me that I have to truly believe what I'm saying. Like when I speak, he's telling me to to really be in a place to where whatever I'm speaking, believe it,
mm-hmm.
and it will manifest. So because I was really hesitant about speaking because I didn't want to be speaking something out of turn, out of key, out of me, not the Father speaking. And that was one of the major worries I used to have. But the way the Father has broken down to me now, I get it now. I get what he's saying now. And I understand it because in the midst of him giving us authority and dominion, when we speak something, we're creating something even then.
That's right. That's right. And the steps of good men are ordered. See, it's one of those areas that we have not been taught in. And because we've not been taught in this area, people think that things happen by all these different measures. You know, this is how it happens. This is, you know, all of these fallacies that people have about how his communication happens with us, how we're supposed to, how that movement happens and all of that. Here's the thing. The reason for the marriage is to move under that marital connection, that covenant. So if I'm in covenant, I don't have to worry about if I'm falling out of covenant. Think about this. As a husband and a wife relationship, nobody's worried about other people stepping out on them because the covenant has everybody locked in their place. The only time you're worried about somebody stepping out on you is if you didn't see the red flags that was telling you the no to the relationship. You understand? But when you have covenanted with a person that you know the Father has sanctioned, that this is authorized by him, you're not sitting up wondering, I wonder if he cheated today. I wonder if he, and the Father's not thinking that about you either. You know why? Because you're in covenant with him and his name is on you. You're very cognizant of that. And so how you're walking is also being directed. You're not just coming up with it on the fly. So even if you're not thinking about it, your steps are still ordered. It's like how we're breathing. We're not cognizant of our breathing and how many breaths per minute we're taking. None of that. This is all automatic. You understand? This is all automatic.
Amen.
Things about you. And that's what the relationship brings to us. It's an automatic situation. It's on automatic. You know, when it's time for you to speak, you'll know what
it
takes. He said, open your mouth.
Yes, that has boosted me, man. That really has boosted
me.
I feel lifted. You know that song?
Come on now.
That song that you have lifted me.
Come on now. He said, you open your mouth and I'll feel it. See, we all have responsibilities in a relationship. You see? And because we all have our own responsibilities in the marital union, then we don't have to do his job. He does his job and we do ours. It's simple. So we don't have
Amen.
To wonder, oh,
Amen.
I don't want to be out of turn. I don't want to speak out of step. It's no way you can do that because you're led of him, because he's in you. And see, it's something about that marital union. Once there's a copulation, once there's a coming together, then there's a joining, not just of our physical bodies, but of our spirits. You ever seen couples that they've been
like-minded?
Look
a, yes.
They look alike. They sound alike. That you can't tell the one
they
from the other.
They can finish each other's sentences.
Listen, you know why? They're not trying to do that. That's who they become.
Yes.
And this is
you
the
know
same
what
thing.
You what?
Spiritually.
Yeah, while you were saying that, it what dropped in my spirit was, and it was about the prophet like Elijah,
mm-hmm.
and it was when he had called down fire and things of that nature, and it was
yeah.
like when you were speaking about, you know, you don't gotta have these certain things and, you know, special things gotta be in place. It's like those were some things he asked the Father for. Because of a situation.
That's right.
And that's what the Father spoke to him. He said, this is because he asked for this. And so when you, like you said, when you're in that marriage and you ask your husband or your spouse for these things that you see a need for,
mm-hmm.
They're not going to tell you no. God, the Father's not going to tell you no.
Listen, he said all of
every word
said,
of God is yes and amen.
Yet,
so
yes,
according to what God
amen.
Is seeing, you see yes and amen.
It,
and if you
it.
See this needs to be done, and you're asking the Father, Lord, this needs to be taken, this needs to be taken away. So he said, Father, I want to call down heaven, you know, fire from
mm-hmm.
heaven and burn them up, you know, burn them up.
Mm-hmm.
And God did it mm-hmm. because of what? Because he saw there was a need.
Yes. The disciples, I believe it was Peter and some of the other disciples kept being thrown to prison. Paul and Silas particularly.
Yes.
And they made a statement in Acts chapter 4. They had been threatened. They kept telling them, don't say this name. Don't speak in this authority. When they say the name, it's not the actual name, but it's the authority. Because who authorized you to do this is the question, right? And so when they say, well, the master authorized us, this is the command he gave us, and this is, don't walk in that authority anymore is what they're asking them. This is what they're demanding of them. Don't walk in that authority. We're forbidding you to walk in that authority. This is the phrase that they say. They said, now, Father, behold their threatening. Oh, look at the, are you hearing this? Like, we know you're hearing this. Behold their threatenings and grant unto your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word. You hear this? Listen, we can't follow what they're saying because you've commanded us to do something.
Yeah.
You sent your son to release a command to us to function a certain way. He's shown us the way to function. There's no way we can come out of this functionality because this is what we've been called to do. So this
yes.
is what we are needing from you. You see that they're threatening us, right? Okay, so this is what we're asking you. Behold their threatenings and grant unto us with all boldness. Give us a boldness that is uncompromising.
Yes.
It's with all boldness. All.
Yes.
You know how the Bible talks about him being, the Father being all-powerful, almighty?
Yes.
That means almighty.
Yes.
With all boldness. Listen, all boldness, that we may speak your word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal. Now, when they talk about him stretching forth his hand, they're talking about through me. With all boldness, give us to not only speak your word, but to do the word that you're speaking through us to the people. To
yes,
actualize
Lord.
It, to put action behind it. And that signs and
yes,
wonders may
Father.
Be done by the authority of your Holy Son. The same way he did. That's what we're about to do. And when they had
Amen.
Prayed, I love this. This is in Acts chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 31, because, and I'll probably read it more than once, because this is so powerful about that conversation that's being had when you're talking about asking the Father for something and him doing it. This is what it says. And this is not Acts chapter 2. This is Acts chapter 4. I need you to understand that when he releases a thing, it's not just for one release. It can be released over and over again. It's like a ripple effect. Right? You can get tremors from the thing that he first did. Okay? It says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of Yah with boldness. This ain't Acts chapter 2. This is Acts chapter 4. You understand? Acts chapter 2 was when the Holy Spirit first made his appearance through them the way that he did. But we in Acts chapter 4, that wasn't a one-time occurrence. It says when they prayed, the place was shaken. Did y'all hear that? When they prayed.
Amen.
The place
Amen.
Was shaken where they were assembled together. Now, see, this is the key. The key is where they were assembled together. It's the same key from Acts chapter 2, which is a thing that is so confounding to so many people because people have so many different agendas and so many different reasons for why they go to church and do all of these things. And there's no together in the assembling. But when they went to that upper room, they were all with one heart, with one mind, with one focus. You understand? With
yes.
one expectation.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, this is what causes the disruption. Because that's what the shaking is. It's a disruption of a thing that exists, of a current thing. It's a disruption. I believe this is the time that we are in. And this is why I'm so excited about this morning, because I believe we just stepped into something so powerful, so mighty. Yeah, you probably heard other broadcasts. And I don't know if you heard other broadcasts and everybody talking, because that's not necessarily a common thing. So I'm not going to make that common because it's not. But this is one of those places. Okay. And there may be some others. But when we step into that dimension of destiny, there's no, you can't unhear what you heard. You can't unlearn what you've learned. You cannot. You can't give it back. You've stepped in it now.
That's right. You cannot go back to not knowing.
You can't undo it.
Mm-mm. No.
And this is why it's such a
And that's why I would say every piece of knowledge you get, you're changed, because
that's it.
Every piece of knowledge changes you, because you can't go back to not knowing it, you know?
Yeah.
You can't go back to the point of before you learn this piece of information.
Come on. Come on. Even if the change means you're even more hard than you were yesterday. Because
yes.
that's the real thing. Your heart can be hardened towards the change or hardened towards the word. But it's even more hardened than it was yesterday. But you're going to change. And we know what a hard heart produces. Once you harden your heart for so long, the Father says, okay, it's no return. It'll come a point where he'll harden your heart for you. You don't have to worry about it. We ain't living those lives. Go ahead.
As you were talking, I was listening, and I'm hearing you talking about the church, and I'm like, we're supposed to function like a body.
Yes.
The body works together.
That's it. That's how you know the church
functions together. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
fight itself.
Mm-mm.
It works
Mm-mm.
together. The hands
mm-hmm.
work with the arms.
Mm-hmm.
The eyes work. The feet, the whole body works together to accomplish what needs, and that's how we need to work as a body.
That's how the body works. That's how the ecclesia works. The called out ones function like that. Kingdom citizens function like that. But there are entities that
have
been established.
That's a whole nother body
listen.
Right there. Yeah, because it's a whole lot that I have to say about that, but I'm just going to hold my peace for now, because that's going to take us to a whole nother, realm.
Listen, it's a whole nother situation, okay? Whole nother situation. Oh, God, we're so thankful for this morning. And I don't know how long we've been on here. What I want to do is run out of time. It's not showing me the clock this morning. That's weird. I don't understand why it's not showing me my clock, but we haven't run out of time, but I don't want to run out of time either. What I do want to do is take the time to see if we can at least, let's jump into Numbers chapter 30. This is where we are in the Torah portion, and it's the Sabbath. So Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Peace in your Sabbath today. This is Matat Maseh. It means tribes. It discusses the journey of the tribes. and this is really important. I think it's definitely connected to some of the things that we've discussed today. It actually starts in Numbers chapter 30, verse 2, and goes to Numbers chapter 36, verse 13. So if we don't get through all of that today, I definitely wanted to announce that that's where we are, because we may have to read it tomorrow. We may have to read it tomorrow because I think we got today's Sabbath conversation. I think what the Father released today in prayer and what he released through your mouth today was the conversation for the Sabbath. But I wanna jump to this really quick because since we're on here, I believe that this is one of the things that the Father wants to say concerning the females, the women, his daughters that are on the line. We'll go to chapter 36 and start at verse 1, and we'll go to verse 13. Let's do that. And I'm reading from the ESV, okay? It says, the heads of the father's house of the clan of the people of Gilead, the son of Machir, son of Manasseh, from the clans of the people of Joseph, came near and spoke before Moshe and before the chiefs, the heads of the father's houses of the people of Israel. They said, Yah commanded my Lord to give the land for inheritance by lot to the people of Israel. And my Lord was commanded by Yah to give the inheritance of the Lophahite brothers to his daughters. But if they are married to any of the sons of the other tribes of Israel, then the inheritance of the tribe to which they marry. So it will be taken away from the lot of our inheritance. And when the jubilee of the people of Israel comes, then their inheritance will be added to the inheritance of the tribe into which they marry, and their inheritance will be taken from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers. And Moshe commanded the people of Israel according to the word of Yah, saying, the tribe of the people of Joseph is right. This is what Yah commands concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, and we'll talk about who they were shortly. Let them marry whom they think best. Only they shall marry within the clan of the tribe of their father. The inheritance of the people of Israel shall not be transferred from one tribe to another. For every one of the people of Israel shall hold on to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. And every daughter who possesses an inheritance in any tribe of the people of Israel shall be a wife to one of the clan of the tribe of her fathers, so that every one of the people of Israel may possess the inheritance of his fathers. So no inheritance shall be transferred from one tribe to another, but each of the tribes of the people of Israel shall hold on to its own inheritance. The daughters of Zelophehad did as they commanded Moses, or Moshe, from Mahlah, Tirzah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Noah. The daughters of Zelophehad were married to sons of their father's brothers. They were married into the clans of the people of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in their tribe, in the tribe of their father's clan. These are the commandments and the rules that Yah commanded through Moshe to the people of Israel in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho. Now, why am I bringing that up? The daughters of Zelophehad, there was a situation where this man, Zelophehad, had no sons. And so there was a conversation about inheritance, and the inheritance usually went to the sons, particularly the firstborn first, right? Well, this man didn't have any sons, so the daughters of Zelophehad went before Moshe, and they said, listen, my father doesn't have sons. We're the only ones. We're asking that the inheritance come to us. Moshe seeks the father. The father says, yes, they are right. Give them the inheritance. But there becomes an issue when it comes to the marital union, to the covenant, because the father gave the inheritance. He separated the inheritance of the people and gave each tribe their inheritance. Well, they're all coming with what they have. They're all coming with what they've been given when they come. So what would happen is if they were to marry into another tribe, they would not only possess the inheritance of one tribe, but also the other, which would put them in a position of power above their people. Check this out. This is so important. Them in a position. So then it became an issue of being mindful what we're connected to. It always goes back to that. And understanding that in order for us to maintain one, our inheritance, and not to take away something that doesn't belong to us, right? That we have to be connected. Now, this can be seen in several different lights. I'm just going to share this light. often with females, often with women, and here this is a lesson for the women that will be listening. I hadn't planned to go this way, but since this is the way that the Torah took us, we're going to go here for a minute. Often with us, what we do when we're becoming relational, when we come into that place where we're becoming relational, we're opening up. Maybe there's somebody that's courting us or suiting, you know, somebody that's suiting us or whatever. We're suited for someone or whatever. Or there's a potential there. We begin to talk and give too much information, right? In giving that information, we're releasing an inheritance. We're releasing some things about ourselves that they should be able to have the opportunity to seek out, not just be given, if that makes sense. So if you're connecting with the wrong person, what you've then in essence done is you've given them the ticket, the license, the key to access you even without permission. You've given them an access to you that they should not have, that if they were trying to gain the access, they would be denied because they would not know how to gain it. So any way that they would be trying to gain it, unless it would be authorized, would be illegal. It's gaining access to who you are. That's something that they should be able to put themselves in a position to learn, right? So in essence, when you give yourself your inheritance to them in that way, and then that, okay, say this connection comes about, and okay, now we're going to get married. Now we're going to connect. Now in that connection, now you're receiving something that you should not be inheriting. And now you're stopped, you're blocked, you are delayed, you feel denied, you know, all of these things, because you're mingling inheritances. And now they're trying to walk in the favor and walking in some forms of the favor that you're carrying, because a man that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor. That's a law. And things operate by laws. Everything in the world, everything in the kingdom operates by a set of laws, okay? So if you activate the law of that thing, then that system is going to function a certain way. So even though this person is not really deserving or not worthy, and I know that sounds harsh, but there are people that we've connected to that were not worthy of what we're called to, not worthy of who we're called to be in the earth. And so we're giving away almost as if like the two brothers and the one wanted the pottage. He wanted the stew, right? We're talking about, what's his name? Cain and Abel, right? Just giving away something, or just, you know, not even valuing what you possess. This is really important, that we value what we possess to the point of identifying where we're giving it and how much of it we're giving at any given time. We're talking about relationships now, right? So I wanted to just throw that out there because I think that that's an invaluable piece of information that's going to help us in our next. You know, it's going to help us in our next. If you got something to share about that, then go ahead and jump in there, because we're going to turn the people loose shortly.
Yeah, I think that's real powerful. I think it's definitely a right on time, because when it comes down to our next in the relationship, what you're saying that gives a lot of credence to of what the Father is speaking, and even helping us to understand our value, our worth. A lot of times our value and our worth is tied up into what we believe other people have spoken about us, or what, you know, based on our youth. And that's not where we are anymore. And so the Father is letting us know, even through what you just read, that we have inheritance, that we're valuable, we're valued, you know. And so when you were speaking, it made me think about what we do have to give. You know what I mean? What are we connecting to? What are we? You know, what's our goals for our next? You know, the relationship. Have you been healed in certain areas to where you understand who you are and where you are now, you know, versus what we were conditioned for. Now we're, you know, we had to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, meaning that we had to let go of that old knowledge to gain the Father's knowledge, to understand who we are, whose we are, and what our value is. We have an inheritance. That when you spoke that thing it welled up inside of me.
Listen.
Because it's like I'm understanding that now I have great value.
Yeah.
Getting emotional about that thing. Girl,
hallelujah.
Like,
it's good. It's real,
I have great value.
Listen, it's a purpose you were born with because of your value.
Yes. Yes. And then if we don't, we have to believe these things, you know, because we bought into what we were conditioned, you know, into.
Yeah.
We bought into that. We believed that. So now when you spoke that thing to me, it uprooted that thing. It's like, I believe what the Father has said to me and who I am.
Yeah.
I believe him.
Brother,
you know, I am his daughter. I am a queen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's powerful.
It's not just a word anymore. Queen is not just a random title. It's who we are. We're royalty.
Exactly. 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 And to knowing that when a man obtained he found a wife and found a good thing, he obtained the favor. When you get the favor from that woman is going to add to you. She's going to add to you. And if you don't know her value, her worth, or even his, like when he don't know his, and he, you know, he can't see you for who you are because he don't even have the value for himself to even see what you bring to him.
Come on.
So
come on.
I was listening to a man a couple of days ago, R.C. Blake, and he spoke about this thing, and he spoke about
Queenology, y'all. Queenology. Get his book if you can. Since you mentioned him, I'm going to go ahead and tell him it's Queenology.
because he spoke about, this was a message he was talking to the women who were saying, why are these men not marrying, you know, not marrying us? And so he was talking about the feminine man versus the masculine man and how the feminine man is just as pretty as a woman. Not that he's gay or nothing. But it's the fact that he wants to be taken care of. He wants you to cater to him and not him provide for you, you know. So he began to break these things down, and it was just like it was profound to me, you know. Yeah. And then my I sent it to one of my goddaughters, and she was just like, she started laughing. She's like, he sounds like Steve Harvey. I said, no, you listen to the wrong ears. I said, let me give you another perspective. I said, he talking about you being your authentic self by you being able to have the courage to say what you want up front, not waiting months and years later and you still begging for this man to marry you. This man, 10 kids later, this man ain't asked you to marry him not one time. So, and why do you feel you have to, kind of beat around the bush or keep throwing hints about getting married? No, he said you should be who you are up front. Look, these are my goals. I want to get married. I plan this. I plan that. Where are you at? You know. And he said, don't take rejection. Don't take it as a rejection when they lie. He said, take it as protection.
Come on now. It's
and
not
I'm like that's
my line.
Right. Because you have some things in place to set you up for protection to say, look, I ain't got time for your games because I know where you are. And so he was talking about the difference between a fun man and a real man, you know.
Come on,
he was like, you know, so he was like, yeah, you got somebody that just doesn't want to play, but and don't, you know, don't get it twisted. When you entertain that, don't think you're going to turn a fun man into a married man.
A real
he
man.
He may not want to be married. Yeah, a real man because that ain't his focus right now. You know? So I was trying to explain to her that even with Steve Harvey, what he was saying, he was still trying to give you some type of principle to stand on so that you won't be ran over and ran over a monthly, basically. You know what I'm saying? Like, you keep running to the same stuff over and over again. Why? Because you're not looking at you're not looking at the patterns. You're not looking at the process. You're not looking at who they telling you they really are. You're not listening. Not listening. So he tried to, Steve Harvey tried to wake the women up, so to speak, shake them up. And so even when the men were saying what they were saying, that Steve Harvey was shaking all the game up, you know, they gonna switch the game. And so then the women mm-hmm. switch the game. So now everybody playing somebody else's hand, so to speak, or playing mm-hmm. their turn. Mm-hmm. When the father is calling this in this season right now, the father is calling for pure authenticity. He is not mm-hmm. buying it. He is not buying that mm-hmm. you trying to be something somebody else has told you to be. No, who did mm-hmm. I call you to be is what he's calling for.
That's right. That's right. Step into yourself. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep, yep. Stand up. Stand up and be who you are. Mm-hmm.
This is amazing. Because I had the same journal that I read from. It was something when the giant said wife, and I was
yes.
like, okay, I got something about wife. And so I was just flipping through my journal as we were talking,
mm-hmm.
and it was written there right what God was telling me. And he was, and I wanted to share this because I know they'll help somebody else too. But he was saying, like, don't put yourself out there to get the wrong type of attention.
Come on.
And he reminded me that he's going to hide you in the secret place of the Most High.
That's right.
So put your trust and confidence in him, that he's
mm-hmm.
going to affirm your words. And he reminded me also that, you know, the scripture, he that finds a wife finds a good thing. And so
yes.
by putting yourself open, it takes no effort. It don't take no effort to be seen at all.
Mm-hmm.
It don't require no work.
Mm-hmm.
So
to identify who you are
and waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like impatience in the waiting. God is refining in that secret place. He's refreshing
mm-hmm.
and he's nourished. You know,
yes.
so a good man sets an order by the Lord, and where the heart is, the treasure will be. So the man, he don't even know. He don't know where to dig without the Lord.
That's it. That's it.
So he needs
he won't
to
even
trust
waste
in the
time.
Process.
Yeah, right.
So he needs to trust in the process of digging so that
mm-hmm.
God will uncover his heart because he don't even know.
Come on now. Come
so
on.
So that when he finds me and he finds you, he won't be so quick to leave because he know the value of the thing that he had to dig out, that he
Come
had
on.
To dig out and he had to seek his father for it.
That's
so and the
good.
Value of the digging is the pleasure of receiving that. And so by me staying hidden and you staying hidden, then we're going to learn patience in the shortcomings because when he found us in the secret place. So because he
That's
found
it.
Me in the secret place, I'm going to stay in the secret place.
That's
and
it.
I'm going to still stay in the secret place in the relationship. So even
mm-hmm.
when the storms come in the relationship, I'm safe in the safety of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the key is that you wind up in a secret place together because that's where he found you.
That's right, because
mm-hmm.
we both had to go through that process. So it's my
mm-hmm.
responsibility to stay hidden in God, and
he,
like you said, you giving out too much information, so he don't got to
mm-hmm.
dig out nothing about you.
Mm-mm.
Nothing.
He's telling it all. Yeah. Well, when I was a child, you know, I was molested, and you know, so
yeah.
what happened was my uncles and like, what? This is our first outing. What? Are we, what?
Yes.
So now,
so I was like, wow, that
is
so good.
You,
because
they're not for you, though. Check this out. You just gave them intel. That you gave them a
yes.
place to maneuver from.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Gave them a place to
and
maneuver from.
Yeah, and this is healing for me, too, because when
That's
I, you know, when I was in my marriage, you know, and we were going through the process and everything, and my husband was like, you know, can you ask God, you know, is this what God is saying? Because I was like, you know, I'm ready, you know, to go through the separation and everything. And I said, yeah, I talked to God about it. And I asked him, I said, God, why don't he feel anything? Why don't he feel anything? We're supposed to be together. And this is, and I'm part of his body. he don't feel when he's hurting me or anything. And God said, because you not his rib. So he don't even feel you.
Come on.
He doesn't even feel you at all. That's mm-hmm. why he doesn't feel, because you not his rib. And so it just mm-hmm. reminded me that it's important. It's so important because if you not that man's rib, he not gonna feel you. He not gonna know. Mm-hmm. You not gonna have that connection. And that's why mm-hmm. it's important, like you said, to look out for the red flags and to stay hidden and all those things, so that he can dig it out and that mm-hmm. you are safe. So that's just what I wanted to share.
That's so good. That's so good. That is so
that's beautiful.
Good.
Absolutely
mm-hmm.
beautiful. I love
it. I love it. It's amazing. You know, one of the things that I have learned about the Father is that he always warns his people. He always gives us warning. Now, we may not be mature enough to identify or understand the warnings, but when we process through that thing, we can, in retrospect, identify, I saw that red flag. I saw that. Now we're prepared
Amen.
For the next. You know, it wasn't
Amen.
A failure. It was a learning experience. You understand?
And that's the beauty of it, too. You said that before to us. And
mm-hmm.
that was profound for me then, because I learned to not punish myself for the what I perceived
the
as
misstep.
A mistake. It's a process of learning. You don't mm-hmm. automatically know all these things. We got to go through a process to learn. So when we learn, when we go through something, like you said, we went through that before. I didn't catch that red flag. But now when mm-hmm. I retrospect, I look back, you know, as they would say, you know, 2020 is hindsight, you know.
Hindsight is
so,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. So now you see things clearly, because, and then I will always say, you know, when you're in the picture, you can't see it. But when you step
mm-hmm.
out of the picture, you see the whole picture. But when you're
mm-hmm.
in it, you can't see it, because you're a part of the picture. So
yeah, you're on the
you're
canvas.
In a, yes, you're on it. And so when you step out of that canvas, now you can see the whole picture. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, learning that the process of going or understanding our process, like even for me going through the process of learning how to become vegetarian, you know, the process
mm-hmm.
of, you know, whatever processes we're going through, you know, learning as we go and not beating mm-hmm. ourselves up because we don't know. And that was one thing that I had to continue to contend with, because it was
mm-hmm.
a perfectionist thing inside of me that I need to know. And then if I didn't know, I thought I was dumb. But I can
mm-hmm.
know a lot, but I don't know it all. And if I don't know it all, I feel like I'm dumb, and you're not going to know it all. So it's a vicious cycle, you know? So now, when you spoke that too about it's a no, understand that you're in the process and you're not gonna know, you're gonna learn as you go, and that
mm-hmm.
right there has relieved a lot of the stress off of me, because now
Thank
I know you. That I can tell myself that I'm in the process, and when
That's
when
right.
I when that thing try to pop up and tell me you don't know, you dumb, you stupid, da da da, no, I'm not accepting
no.
that any longer. We're not there anymore. We're in the process. We're in the
That's
process.
Right.
We're learning as we go. We're going to continue to learn as we go. As long as we're living on this earth, we're going to continue to learn.
That's right.
So I'm going to forever be in the process.
So
I'm in the process. Yeah.
I don't know what
yes.
I know to know it. So guess what?
Yes.
And what
I'm
we
growing.
Do attain, yeah, what we do attain, we don't reject that. We that's, you know, that's attributed to us. You know, what you do attain, you attain. Like, it's areas that I'm very strong in, areas that I'm very passionate about. And there are other areas in business that I'm learning. I have a certain business acumen. Going to these next levels of business, those are places I'm ignorant of. You know, the thing that I see, the thing that he's calling me to, I'm ignorant of what that journey takes. But I'm learning
yes.
every day by the things that he's putting in place for me, the things that he's commanding
yes.
me to do, that I'm learning. I'm moving. I'm gaining a momentum. And as I'm gaining
yes.
momentum, I'm gaining mentors. And as I'm gaining mentors, I'm gaining the information that I need to transition me or to transform me into that level of information and knowledge, you know. But I'm not a failure because I don't know. I'm not a failure because I see something that I don't know how to get to.
Exactly.
You know,
Abraham
saw something that he didn't know how to get to. The father told him, leave your house. He didn't know what promised land was. But he had to step out. He was ignorant of the journey, but he wasn't ignorant in the relationship. And that's what matters, that you not be ignorant of the relationship, because everything that you need is already in you. It's already there.
Yeah.
You're
going to
turn the potential into the power that comes of it because of the igniting that the Holy Spirit does with that potential. You just haven't tapped into it yet. It's the thing that the woman of God was saying about the digging. And we were talking about that, I think, before you got online, too, about digging. And that digging, when you hit that treasure box, you hear that thud, and you got to pull that out of there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dig until you pull that out of there. Then you can open it up. So you can identify with what's in it. You know? The treasure that's hidden in the earth. And so, treasure that's hidden in the earth. And vessel. Yeah. I love y'all. I appreciate that. I've enjoyed our conversation today. And we will definitely read all of Torah tomorrow. But definitely check that out today. It is the Sabbath. Deuteronomy chapter 30, I believe it is. Yeah. Yes, yes. I got to go back up to the top. Numbers. Deuteronomy is next week. Numbers chapter 30, starting at verse 2, going to chapter 36, verse 13. That's the Torah portion for today. And then the prophetic portion is Jeremiah chapter 2, starting at verse 4, going to verse 28, and then chapter 3, verse 4. The good message passage is in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, and then Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 23. All right. So,
y'all.
I've enjoyed the conversation. I love you guys. We know here that our motto is that the body is not a me thing. It's a we thing. And I believe that in our next, we're going to understand and realize that more than we ever have. I declare peace to your house. All of those that are listening on the line that will hear this broadcast today and the days to come, peace to your house as you keep him. Keep your mind stayed on him, because that's that where perfect peace comes from. It's a mindset. Perfect peace is a mindset. Wrap your head around that today. As you're keeping your mind on him, perfect peace is provided for you. So I declare peace to your house. That means I'm declaring that your mind be where it needs to be to receive what you need to receive. We love you. Peace, guys.
Amen. Love you.
All right. Peace.
Love you all. Peace.